things are passed away. All things are new today. He gave me light for paths so dim. Oh, how I've changed since I found Him I'm in.
And a new world, says the Lord, save me.
Yes, I'm in a new world. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, for He opened up my blinded eyes, and then I had a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. While traveling down the sinful road, I had no friend to share my load. I wandered here and there, yet no one seemed to care. Oh, but when I knelt that night to pray, I stepped into a brand new day. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Yes, I'm in a new world. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, for He opened up my blinded eyes, and then I had a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. And I can't explain the way I feel. There's not a doubt, I know it's real. There's glory in my soul. The hallelujahs roll. Though earthly friends may turn me down, I still retain the peace I found. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Oh yes, I'm in a new world. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, and He opened up my blinded eyes, and then I had a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. And I can't explain the way I feel. There's not a doubt, I know it's real. There's glory in my soul. The hallelujahs roll. Though earthly friends may turn me down, I still retain the peace I found. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Yes, I'm in a new world. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, for He opened up my blinded eyes, and then I had a great surprise. I'm in
a new world since the Lord saved me.
On that second verse, while traveling down the sinful road, I had no friend to share my load. Here and there, yet no one seemed to care. Oh, but when I knelt that night to pray, I stepped into a brand new day. I'm in a new world.
Well, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me, and I don't know any other world I want to get in. I look around me and see a world going topsy-turvy, and I'm grateful that I know Him, that great Redeemer. Today, we've got a really great subject. Merry Christmas to you. May I say that first? Merry Christmas to everyone. And we're going to talk about the family. Can you imagine anything to talk about more exciting than the family? The family, the bedrock, one of the two bedrocks of society. The church and the family are the two bedrocks upon which a society must be built. If you do not build a society on the church and the home, then my dear friend, the family, the home, then there's going to be disaster. It's going to all fall apart. And all you've got to do is look at America, look at what's happening to us right now, and look at the rest of the world, anywhere the family and the church of Jesus Christ has been displaced, then you have nothing but disaster. It may take a while, it usually does, but step by step, the world, yes, simply the society, goes to hell. It literally loses its very moorings. Now, we're going to look at what the Bible says. We'll go to Matthew, we'll go to Luke 6. We'll go to Genesis, and we're going to take a look at what constitutes a family, a biblical family. Now, how do you build a biblical home? How do you build a solid family? How do you have a solid family? Now, this is Christmas. Can you imagine a subject more imperative to talk about on Christmas than the family and the church? the family, and the church. Now, we're going to deal specifically with the home. With the home and the family. Specifically. We're going to look at what constitutes a Christian family. Would you like to know, biblically, what constitutes a Christian home? Would you like to know how to build a home so that it stands? Now, before I go into a list of things that the Bible teaches us that are the bedrock of the home and the family. I mean, if these things are not a part of your family, it cannot be stable. It cannot be lasting. It cannot be biblical. It cannot have the substance that makes for a wonderful family, a wonderful house, a wonderful home. Now, you do remember what I said to you a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that anyone who is not converted to Christ, according to church statistics, and this is not my study, this is a study of very reputable institutions studying at what age average people come to Christ that really constitute the church world. And only 4% of people who do not give their life to Christ by the age of 21 never give their life to Christ. Only 4%. 96% of the people who pass 21 years of age without a genuine surrender to Jesus Christ, 96% are never converted. They will spend eternity in an eternal hell. That's overwhelming. I have wept over those statistics over and over for over 2 weeks now. I have wept over them. And I've wept for souls that are lost. There's a few that will get saved after the 21 years of age, but only 4%, 4 out of 100. That means if you're over 21 and you're not converted, and you still refuse to be converted, you probably never will be. I mean, if you refuse right now and you say 42 and you refuse to give your life to Christ, you love drinking and carousing and the life of sin, and you're going to keep on doing it because that's what you want. Or maybe you're a member of the church, but you're unconverted. You're just a pew warmer. You sit on a pew. You have your name on the roll, and the church recognizes you maybe, but you've never been born again. Well, only 4% of those over 21, according to a bona fide statistics, will ever truly come to Christ. Now, that places the home at the bedrock of society, spiritually speaking. That places the home as the place that's got to make sure that those young ones come to Christ. Now, what's amazing, only 10% after the age of 14. Only 10%, so you got 14% of the people that get saved after they're 14 years of age. 14% of the society, of the church world, gets saved after they are 14 years of age. But only 4% after 21 years of age. Now, you got to hear this. All of you out there, whether you're listening by Facebook or internet or radio, please listen to Brother Chambers. Please sit down if you can and just think and get your mind in gear, and let's figure out what we can do to turn our homes around. Now, let me tell you something before I go to those things about the home and what constitutes a Christian home. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 12. And let Jesus talk to you about the necessity of stopping the forces of wickedness in your home. Listen to this. But I say unto you that every idle word, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For the word of the Lord shall be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. And I'm reading to you something that was different from what I meant. And let me take you where I intended to go. The book of Matthew, chapter 12. I was right with the chapter, but then verse 44. Then he said, I will return into the house from whence I came out. And when he is come, this is an evil spirit, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. Then goeth he into that house. Then goeth he into that house and does great damage to that house. Now read, listen, verse 35. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account of in that day of judgment. Now, friends, we are dealing with a world that is so wicked and so evil and so far from God and so removed from the right course and the right way that it's overwhelming. Now, listen, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Now, listen, or else how can one cast out a strong man? How can one cast out a strong man and spoil his goods except thou first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Now, here's one of the great teachings of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he says, here's a home, and there is an evil spirit that's take dominance in that home. There's an evil spirit of the world that is ruling that family. Maybe the dad is an adulteress. Maybe mother is careless with her life. Maybe the dress style has left off the Bible standard. All kinds of things reflect spirits of the world taking over homes. And many homes now are ruled by the spirits of wickedness. Many homes are ruled by the spirit of wickedness. And what does Jesus say? He said, you cannot go into a home that is possessed of an evil spirit, and you cannot take that home back unless you first bind that wicked spirit. You got to bind that demon. You got to bind those powers of the world. So here I come to you today with a program on the home and the family. And if your family is in any way ruled by the world, if your family is any way ruled by spirits that's taken over the home, the language is filthy. The television is on with junk all the time. The Sabbath day is no longer regarded. The Bible doesn't have any place in the home. There's no altar to pray at. And you can just name the many things that are going on in homes all over America and all over the world. And you wonder why the homes are falling apart. You wonder why the kids are out on drugs and involved in every kind of illicit affair, and everything you can imagine is gone wrong in that home. And all I need to tell you is what Jesus said: a spirit of the world, a spirit of Satan, a spirit from hell has taken dominance in your home. And so now the only way to recover that home is to get that spirit of wickedness out. You got to start praying, friend. You got to start calling on the Lord God. You got to get a good man of God to come in there and cast that spirit out. I believe in dedicating a home to the Lord. I believe a home that's not dedicated to the Lord is as dangerous almost as a beer parlor. A home that's not dedicated to the Lord is a dangerous place. So I bring you today to understand that Satan is out to destroy homes. Satan is out to destroy homes. Satan is out to destroy your family. I have the calls that come to me from mothers and dads praying for their children. They are innumerable. I mean, very few people that you talk to that don't have somebody in their family that's lost, and they're out in the world, and they're living careless, and living a life without Christ. And many of them are even morally good kids, but they don't know the Lord. Morally good young couples, married, maybe they bought a home, and they're making good money, but they don't know the Lord. And so Satan is ruling their house. See, there's no such thing as a neutral ground in the world we live in. It is either ruled by Christ or is ruled by the world. Can you understand that? Can you understand that your home is either ruled by Christ or it's ruled by the world? And if it's ruled by the world, it will normally get worse and worse and worse. And one thing after the other will take over that home. Watch the news and listen, and you can tell what has happened to the homes and the families of America. They are in disaster. They are in disaster. Do you ever weep over the families all around you that have fallen apart? Do you weep over the multitudes of moms and dads with children deep in drugs and deep in homosexuality, deep in sodomy? How many young ladies are there out there in our today's society who become lesbians? They are multiplied. There are many of them, young men who become sodomites. And now we've got the spirit of transgender. that's coming upon our society like a storm. Now, what you got to let me help you understand is these are evil spirits. A home where there are children who have become transgender children right there in the home. There's a little girl and she thinks she's a little boy. A demon did that, my friend. A demon confused that little child's mind. Now, I don't know whether you read the statistics I put on Facebook a few days ago, but 77% of Democrats who have a college degree or more, 4 years or more, 77% of them do not believe a doctor can tell you if your child is a boy or a girl. That the gender of that child, as far as the anatomy, means nothing. If that little girl thinks she's a boy, then she's a boy. That's the transgender spirit that has taken over our society. And that is filling homes. It is flooding homes. Now, if you don't believe that the homes of America are under that strong spirit that Jesus was talking about, he said you cannot cast that spirit out of that home and you cannot take back possession in that house until you cast out that evil spirit and get that evil spirit out of your house. So I dedicate myself to come to any home that calls me. If you will make the commitment to Christ, and you will give yourself to make your home as a Christian home, that spirit can be cast out of your home. That spirit can be cast out of the realm of your household. And you can have a house where purity is reigning again. Anybody out there wants that? Do you want a home that is pure? Do you want a home that's built on biblical values? Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, you really are coming down. It's Christmas. It's time to get our homes happily serving Jesus Christ. How many homes will have a Christ-centered Christmas? And how many will have a pleasure, just a lot of food, maybe drinking and carousing? Many people have big beer parlors and wine festivals and whiskey drinking sprees during the Christmas season, and they turn their home into a brothel. They turn their home into a beer parlor. My friend, this is not of God. This is of the devil. I do not claim the Christian values if your home is not a place where Christ is the center. I want to help you reclaim your home. I want to help you reclaim your home by the grace of God. Now, what are the characteristics of a godly home? What are the characteristics of a godly house? A place where you built your house on the things of Christ and the things of God. I remember a verse. I want to read it to you in the book of Luke that I marked for today. Very, very important. Listen to this. Listen to this. Will you please? Very important. And why call ye me good, our Lord, and do not the things which I command? Whoso cometh to me, and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you who and what he is. He is like a man which built his house upon a rock. Built his house upon a rock and digged down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods came, the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock. Would you like to build your home upon a rock? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that powerful? Building your home upon a rock. Building your home upon a rock. It's Christmas time. It's time to turn your family back to God. It's time to turn your family back to God. You've got to start by cleansing your house of spirits that dwell there, that rule there, that are in command there. The language is filthy. Oh, we deal with children in the school who live in homes where the language is filthy, and you won't believe the things we've got to teach them about certain words and certain languages. And you know, we don't allow them in our school, but we've got to teach these children. I don't know where you heard this. They'll often tell us. And we'll say, but you can't say that here. And we'll teach them the right word. Friend, we live in a world that is allowing the home to be destroyed. I don't think any of you doubt this. I think most of you understand what I'm saying, and you understand the very truth of it. I hope you do. Now, I'm going to open the lines up so you can call, and I want you to ask me any question about anything I say. Any question about anything I say, disagree or agree, that's up to you, and you may want to add something to it. Okay? The number to call, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. And let me put up the numbers here so you can see them. 1-800-338-7884. The local number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, you call with any question, with any remark, with any disagreement or agreement, or you may want to add something to what I say. Because we need a desperate return to godly homes. America is desperate to return to godly homes. The church world is desperate to teach our families how to turn their homes back to Christian homes. Now, I want to give you a list of things that you can do to turn your home back to a Christian home. Number one, you need to have an altar in your home where everybody prays together. You need an altar in your home where everybody prays together. You say, well, I've got older kids and they refuse to pray. Well, you just set that home on fire with prayer. You pray. You seek God. You make that home a place where your children come in the evening and they hear mother back in a bedroom praying and crying out to God. Or they hear daddy in the living room and he's praying and he's crying out to God. Build an altar in your home and start with whoever will pray. Start with whoever will pray, and then you pray until you touch God on a regular basis and make that home a place where there's an altar. And a place where there's prayer. Now, number two, you've got to make this Bible the foundation of your home. This is the book that takes us to heaven. This is the road map. This is the only road map. You can't build a marriage on anything but this book. You can't build a home on anything but this book. If you don't build it on the Bible and on this book, it cannot stay. It cannot fail. It's going to fail. Now, let me tell you something. It really upsets me when I know the Muslim world is more committed to their Quran and reading it and studying it and filling it in the minds of their children than we are who believe the Bible. Bible or Christian homes are not half as committed to their sacred book as the Muslims are to what they call their sacred book. Now, that's a shame. That is a heartbreaker, my friends. That is a heartbreaker. So we need to first have an altar in our home. And second, we need to build our home on the Bible, the Word of God. You know, if you will build your home on the Bible and you will pray, the rest of the things I'm going to say to you wouldn't even need to be said. I wouldn't even need to repeat them. Building your family on the Bible and reading that scripture together, regular, filling the home with the Bible and having a place to pray. Oh, what a truth that is. Number three, devotion to the Sabbath day. You must build your home on a sense of the sacredness of the seventh day, the Lord's day. A home that does not understand the keeping of the Sabbath day holy cannot be called a biblical home. Oh, Brother Chambers, you know I'm right. You know that's true. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Jesus said, if you say you love me and you don't keep my commandments, you a liar and the truth is not in you. Jesus said that, not Brother Chambers. He that says he loves me and does not keep my commandments, that person is a liar. The Bible says it. The Holy Ghost says it. Jesus says it. They're lying. That's what the Bible says. They're lying to him. So you got to keep the Sabbath day holy. Let me tell you something I did about 30 years ago. I'm saying 30 years. It could be 28. It could be 35. But somewhere in that area. I was living over on Paul Creek Road, and I was visiting. I've always visited homes regular on a regular basis, and I was visiting, and I decided I would do something over a period of time. I would do a survey, and I would talk with old people in this survey, people 65 and 70 and 80 years old, maybe occasionally somebody in 90, and these were people now that were that age 30 years ago. They were 65 and 75 30 years ago. So you know now that these people I talk with and ask this question are now dead. They've gone on to their reward. And the question I said to them, you were Presbyterian, right? Do you remember when in the Presbyterian church you kept the Sabbath day holy? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember when everybody in our church was devoted to keeping the Sabbath day holy. Then I would go in a Methodist home, and I would ask the same question. They would say, absolutely. I remember when all of our members were, it was just imperative. The preacher preached it from the pulpit. We kept the Sabbath day holy. Then I'd be in a Baptist home. I'd be in a Pentecostal home. I'd be in a Lutheran home. And I mean, I went to a lot of homes and did this. And every case, 65, 70, 80 years old, now remember, this is 30 years ago, approximately. They all said, yes, as a child, as a young Christian, I remember keeping the Sabbath day holy. Hey, do you understand that? What's happened, Brother Chambers? Well, we have fallen away. We've lost the sense of the truth. We don't keep the Sabbath day holy. If you don't build your home and your family on keeping the Sabbath day holy, you are not going to build them on a solid Christian life. Are you listening to me? Oh, I hope you are. Please don't get angry over this old-fashioned material, because it's nothing but the old truth. And the old truth is still the same truth. The Bible doesn't change. The Bible doesn't alter. Now, I want to hear from you. Anybody out there that's really, really one of the olders like me, old-timers, and you remember that, call and tell me. Tell me what you remember about it. Tell me when you remember. Oh, I remember as a child in the car with my father, we'd go somewhere, and you can find the store open. You can find a place to stop and shop on Sunday. I mean, it just didn't exist. And if you found a little store out in the country, it'd be a bunch of people sitting around talking, and all they were doing was using the store as a place for conversation. There wouldn't be no customers coming and going and all kinds of shopping. No, didn't exist. I remember that day, my friend, and I remember it fondly, because there was such a respect in the air. There was such a sense of reverence in the air. Children were faithful to mamas and daddies, and mamas and daddies were faithful to each other. And it was a world so different from our world. And I'm telling you, nothing has played a part in destroying America more powerfully than the loss of the sense of a Christian home. The godly family, the godly home, the place where there's an altar, the place where the Bible was real, a place where the Sabbath day was special. My dad was not a Christian when I was a young lad. He was bad to drink, really bad to drink. And I remember one time I got my gig, and I went out gigging for fish on Sunday and caught a fish. And it was a horn sucker, they called it, and I brought it home. It was big. I mean, it was really, it weighed a pound probably, and I gigged it. And my dad just got so upset with me for being out there fishing on Sunday, and he wasn't even a Christian. Can you hear me? Wasn't even a Christian, and he didn't like it that I was out there gigging on Sunday. That was a different day for him. So, that's happened to America. That has happened to America. And you know if you're guilty, and you know if that's what you've allowed in your home, and you know that you need to change it. And you know that if you're going to have a Christian home, you've got to keep the Bible and keep the Word of God. Faithful attendance to the house of God. Number four, the Christian home has to be built on faithful attendance in the house of God. Faithful attendance. I mean, you could do a lot of things on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but on Sunday you went to church. On Sunday you went to Sunday school. You went to church. You went to the house of God. I remember vividly that. I remember vividly, and I guarantee you, I'm only 81, you know, 82 in January, and I know I'm talking the age of some of most of you before you were born. I understand that, but I'm telling you, the home has got to be built on biblical principles. Now, number five. Now, this one is going to really affect some of you, and you may even get a little bugged at me. That's okay. I don't mind. A home. And now remember, four things. Number one, an altar. Number two, the Bible. Number three, a devotion to the Sabbath day. Number four, devotion to the house of God. Number five, women were women. Ladies were ladies. Mama was a female. She wasn't a male. Mama looked like one. Mama lived like one. Mama dressed like one. Mama acted like one because she was a lady. She was a lady. And daddy was a gentleman. Now, you go back to those days, and how much sodomy did you have? How much same-sex marriage did you have? How much transgender? The new thing now. The new thing. I mean, we are really considered bad people if we don't believe in transgender people. We are bad people. I mean, we are racist. Oh, you know, all the names that are called us. And now the Democrat Party, 77% of all of those with a college degree and up do not believe that a child's anatomy determines whether it's a boy or a girl. They believe it's got to be determined in their head somewhere after they get through with them, of course. They've got to teach them this new stuff. They've got to reduce them to a little animal. You know, that's really what they're doing. They're reducing them to a little animal. So homes without a godly mother. Homes without a godly mother. My children had one of the most godly mothers. My grandchildren are weeping right here at Christmas because they don't have grandmother for the first Christmas. And they loved her. They respected her. This whole church respected her. This whole school of 40-some years respected her. Everybody that hears our radio program respected her because she was a lady. She was a lady. She lived like a lady. She acted like a lady. She dressed like a lady. And I respected that dear woman. I'm telling you. You see, I'm talking about a godly home. I'm talking about a home built on the Bible. The home built on the Bible. Now, I'm half the way through my hour, and I want to open up the lines because I want you to dig in with me. I want you to call 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Disagree with me, whatever you want to do, or just agree with me. I'd like to have some calls that said, Reverend Chambers, I haven't heard this kind of thing in a long time. And I guarantee you, most of you have never heard it. You younger generation, you don't know, you know, you say, what is wrong with this preacher? He's living in the dark ages. No, I'm living before the dark ages. You're living in the dark ages. I'm living in the age of light and the age of truth and the age of respect for the Bible and the things of God. And I want to hear from you now. I really do. I want you to agree or disagree, but I want you to be my friend. I want you to be my friend. I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to make you angry. I'm here to teach you how to build a Christian home, how to have a Christian family, how to set your home apart and be different from any other home maybe around you. Who knows? Maybe there's several homes like this around you. And if not, if there is, then you need to join that crusade of returning the family and the home to Bible values. Now, number six is a godly father. You know, men are wimps today. How many of you are aware that most men are wimps today? I mean, wimps, literally. They don't have the backbone of a toothpick, much less a saw log. Not a backbone of a toothpick, much less a saw log. Isn't it amazing that the men of this generation are so wimpy? They have so little guts, so little courage, so little stamina, so little willingness to stand up. Let me tell you, a man that doesn't love his wife as Christ loved the church is breaking God's commandment. The man that doesn't love his wife as Jesus loves the church is breaking one of the most beautiful commandments in the Bible. And Jesus is the one that made it. He says that you are to love your wife even as Christ loved the church. Jesus died for the church. Are you willing to die for your wife? Are you willing to stand between her and any damage that comes down the road? Are you willing to just give your life for her? Are you willing to work two jobs so that she can be faithful to her children and raise them to fear God and love God? What kind of a father are you? Are you this kind of godly father? Hey, if you love a godly man as a wife, then call me, ladies, and tell me, I wish my husband would love me like Christ loved the church. You can ask any kid I've got, any grandchild I've got. They'll tell you this man has loved Juanita even as Christ loved the church. I'm not bragging. That's my daddy did that. My dad was like that. He taught me that. I remember watching him. He just loved the ground mama walked on. And I loved the ground my sweetheart walked on. And you know, it's not been easy to give her up. But she's over there and I'm gonna be behind her very soon. Looking forward to the day. But a man, a true man. This is the stability of a home. Is a strong husband. A strong man. A hard-working man. A dedicated man, a man who loves his wife, even as Christ the church, a man who knows how to take his little girls and teach them what a godly man feels like, what the hug of a godly father feels like to those little girls. I've seen little girls that their dad had never given them a good, pure hug. All they knew was just a yell and a hardness and a unfaithfulness. And they didn't know what a good godly dad was. I'm calling on you folks. I'm telling you, if we will rebuild the foundations of our homes, we will rebuild our homes and they will be solid. Now, got to have your phone calls. 704-39. I got more things to say now. And I can answer any of your questions. I'm ready. I don't care what your question is, gently and sweetly and kindly, I will answer it. So get your phone, 704 now, 391-0588, 704-391-0588, and then toll free all over America and Canada, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-33-TRUTH, 33, easy to remember now, 1-800-33-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H. 1-800-338-7884. I'm looking for your calls. I've got other things to say. I got other scriptures to read. I got other things to warn you up. A family that eats together. A godly home is not a family that cooks a meal and everybody comes at a different time and there's no prayer around the table and there's no togetherness around the table and they never eat together. A godly family will eat together. They will sit down together. They will pray together. They will enjoy their meal together. It won't be a pizza in front of a television. It'll be a home where the true things are real and the family can have these times together where they just talk to one another, listen to the daughter, listen to the son, and all those are sweet times. They really are. You are on the air. May I help you, please? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm here.
I remember the time in Gaston.
You remember what now?
I remember time in Gaston County when the grocery stores couldn't open and they couldn't sell gas on Sunday.
You remember that. Now, how old are you?
I'm 73.
Well, see, I'm 82, and I really remember those days. There was a different atmosphere in the homes, wasn't it?
That's right. And since that's got everything's got away from that, the cities, the towns, the government, we've started going downhill ever since.
Started going down. You can look back. I can watch everything about my world from the time I was old enough to tell what was happening. And I can see the downward trend. It's not been slow. It's been like a train that's run away and it's running downhill at breakneck speed. And that's where our world is going. And this last thing of transgender, 77% of Democrats with a college degree above believe that a doctor cannot tell you a child being a boy or a girl by their anatomy. He's got to wait for them in their head to decide what they are. That's sick, brother.
Yeah, that's the devil in them and sin, and nobody can tell what they are except what God makes them. They don't make themselves that way. It's the spirit that gets in them.
Well, see, this is what public schools has done in many cases. This is what the stuff they see on television has done. This is what the books they read have done. Our society, and that's why I say to people, clean your home up. Get that television out of there. Get junky books out of there. Supervise that internet with utter dedication. Clean up your home, and you will do something for your family.
For the parents nowadays, I've noticed it in a lot of families. They'll turn the TV on, but they buy them these games, and they'll spend more time playing these games than they'll spend with the children. And never, well, I won't say never, but I don't believe they sit down and take any time to read the Bible storybooks the way it was when I was a kid.
Well, I know what you're saying, sir, and that's what I'm trying to get to people listening to me. I hope I'm waking somebody up. I'm not sure. Sometimes I think preaching now is almost a lost art to people. They don't really care about it. They don't want to hear you tell them that you shouldn't do this or do that. I've got people who hate me over these things, and I love them. I treat them kind. I'm not going to treat them evil. But I'm going to keep on preaching and declaring the truth and telling everybody everywhere I go, the truth is still the truth.
Well, God is God, and He still has a remnant of people like you and preachers out there that will tell the truth.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm never going to quit. And I think you know that, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I'll talk with you again maybe sometime.
All right. God bless your heart. Now give us a call. I want to hear from you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand about women being women and men being men? Did you know the Bible said it's an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertaineth to a man? And that it's an abomination for a man to wear that which pertaineth to a woman? You'd go ballistic if you saw a man come in with a dress on in your church or even at your home. But you don't do it with the women because we got used to it. It was unusual when it started, friend. I can remember a little of it. I can remember a little of it. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible is still right. The Bible is still pure. Every word of the Bible is still pure. Now call. I want to hear from you. Get that television out of your home. Turn off those internet services unless you can supervise them. Don't give your kids a little tool of internet or something and let them live on that thing. People will literally let their kids take their little computers to church and sit there doing church and play with their computer. Come on, Mom. What's wrong with you? What's going on in your life, Dad? Have you lost it? Do you have any common sense at all? Oh, but Brother Chambers, they won't be still if I don't give them something to keep them still. That's your fault. That's your fault. You can teach them to be still, and it won't take but about three times trip to the bathroom, and you will teach them. A family that eats together. A godly mom, a godly dad. Get the television out of your home. Now, you can take these things I've named. You can take these things I've named. And the absence of them will do the opposite that the good does. And you will turn your home into a place where Jesus spoke of being a strong spirit, a demon spirit that rules that home. And you can do nothing to change it until that spirit is cast out. And you can't cast the spirit out of your home if you don't clean up the material they see. You can't cast the spirit out of your home if you don't act like a man, sir, and act like a lady. You can't cast spirits out if you don't live the life. You've got to get in this Bible and live by the Bible and do what the Bible says, and you will turn your home around. Now I've got about 18 minutes, and I want to spend every minute of it on the phone with you. Am I telling you the truth? Am I telling you the truth? I want to hear from you. How many of you think I'm lying to you? call me and tell me, Reverend Chambers, you're just full of baloney. I don't mind you telling me that. You'll take the war off of me. The Bible says, woe to the man that all men speak well of. I don't expect everybody to speak well of me. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Talking of me and any other Christian. The world who loves this world and this lifestyle. If you love the transgender lifestyle and you believe that's wonderful and fine, there's no way you can like me. I mean, there's no way. If you believe the sodomites can also be Christians, then you can't like me. Because I'm going to tell you, a sodomite, unless they repent, is going to go to hell. They're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. If you're a fornicator and you're an adulteress and you live an unclean life and you refuse to live by the Bible, you're going to spend your eternity in the same place. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go to eternal judgment. I don't want you to spend eternity in a lake of fire. I don't want your children to be destroyed. I don't want your sons and daughters on drugs. I don't want your sons and daughters out there living maybe a morally clean, halfway decent life, but they don't know God. They don't know Christ. They don't keep the Sabbath day holy. They don't live in their Bible. You know, the hell's going to be full of a lot of people. Some of them are going to be as mean as snakes. Some are going to be decent moral people. Some are going to be just pew warmers. Some are going to be people who never was ugly in any way, kind and good, but never surrendered their life to Christ. There's going to be all kinds of people in hell. And I don't want you to be one of them. And you can escape. And the way you can escape is you can be born again. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Transformed into a new creature for Christ's sake. Made completely new. Made completely a brand new individual. And he's ready to do it. He is ready to save you. He is truly ready to save you now. Why are you calling? Again, the number 704-391-0588. 704, you got that? 704-391-0588. Here it is again, just for a moment. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Okay? Now call me quickly, and while you are calling, I'm going to take you to the book of Genesis. I'm going to take you to the book of Genesis. And I'm going to tell you, here's a beautiful story that really tells you how it is in biblical form. No question about it. The story of Abraham. The story of Abraham and his nephew Lot. Abraham and Lot. Do you know the story of Abraham and Lot? Well, Lot was Abraham's nephew. And they were living not too far from Sodom and Gomorrah. And some disturbance arose between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants. Abraham was very, very rich. Lot was partially rich, not as rich as Abraham. And so Abraham said to Lot, our herdsmen are fussing with one another. They're having a spew. So you choose the way you will go, and I'll go the opposite. You go east, I'll go west. You go south, I'll go north. You choose your route. I'll take the opposite, and I'll give you the privilege of the choice. And so Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Bible said he pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Wasn't long till he didn't just have a tent pitched towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Did you know that? America has become probably just as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah was. Maybe worse. I never read where they had any transgenders. I never read where they had a same-sex marriage. I never read where there was any lesbians. There was all male sodomites in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. As far as the Bible records, it was just male sodomites. We live in a world full of lesbians as well as sodomites. Where even marriage between same-sex couples has become the order, the law of the land, if you can believe it. And now transgender. That will be the next one down the road if God doesn't change things. And so here is Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God's judgment is coming. God's judgment is coming. I'm going to take a call before we come back to this judgment picture, and I'm going to read something to you. All right, call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, and you on the air.
Yes, sir. going to say.
Hey, my friend.
Brother, I was going to tell you, me and my wife, I'm calling you from Lumberton, North Carolina.
Okay.
And we're on 100.9 The Cross. We're just sitting here listening to you. And, brother, we're 100% agreeing what you're saying there all the way. Because, one, you were saying about homosexuality, brother. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. They're allowing them in churches and everything that's going on today. And I go to Smyrna Baptist Church here in Lumberton, and what it is, my Sunday school teacher pointed it out a few weeks ago, about a couple months ago, actually, about that, and she was telling people that I'm sorry that I'm bringing this out. And I told her, I said, honey, there's nothing to be sorry about. That's the truth, dear, on that. Because they're allowing all of this happening right now, not only in churches and schools, and everything.
Everywhere you look, the home and the church has been turned into part of this whole scheme.
Yes, sir. And it is. And I told her, I said, there's nothing for you to be ashamed of, because I was just telling my wife that, you know, I'm not trying. Hey, I mean, if they want to be mad at me on what I'm just saying, this thing, go right ahead. But, brother, I'm going to tell you something. I told him, I know people, I might get some of the things Donald Trump, our president now, is doing. But I told him, the Lord's coming. We got to keep that in mind. He's coming. He's not changing that. And on his coming, just because Donald Trump's doing some all right things. But I told him also, too, that he's trying to bring out the message on some now, not all, but some on what he's saying. I like what he's saying, that it is the right way that man and woman should be together. And the Democrats hate it. Hear?
Yeah, the Democrats hate everything of moral value now. They really have become a dark party. Anybody out there that's a Democrat ought to be ashamed of themselves, and they ought to go and re-register. Be an independent if you want to. The Republicans have got their faults too. But I'm telling you, Donald Trump is doing a wonderful job. He's not perfect, but he's the best thing happened to America since Ronald Reagan.
You got that right. He has. Because I told some of them that the reason that a lot of people is saying that he's in office, because when Obama was in office, they sit there and he's just letting them do what they want, that they want sin in this world, which sin's here now. He's allowing them to have sin, brother. And that's the reason why Donald Trump is trying to clean things up and tell the truth.
What he's doing is best to turn things around, and we need to pray for him. And I thank you for calling, sir.
Okay, buddy. Well, I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Let's turn your families around. Are you ready? Are you ready to take your home and turn it back into a godly home? Would you go and find you a good place in your home and start an altar? Would you get your Bible out and have all your family sit together and read the Bible on a regular basis? Will you start keeping the Sabbath day holy? Will you start going to church regular? Would you start eating together as a family? Would you ladies start being a lady in the home instead of a cross sex person? I mean, let your children know you are. See, it used to be that girls played with doll babies and boys played with, you know, with trucks and little pistols, you know. And now the whole world is in such a mess, and most public schools are teaching the kids, you ought to be just like the boys, and you know, play the same games and do the. No, that's not what God ever intended. Everything about us ought to be according to our sex. Girls ought to be girls, boys ought to be boys. Now, there's sometimes a boy likes to play with a doll. That don't mean it's ugly or he's wrong. He just needs to be taught that's not normal, and probably stopped. I'm not sure. I never had such a problem, because my boys were such a boy, and my girls were such girls, there was no problem. But in this crazy society and the public schools, who knows what somebody's going to tell them? And you better get with it and make your home a Christian home. Are you calling? I want to hear from you. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884, local number 704-391-0588. Well, you know, things like this really stir up people, but I think most of you have enough common sense. Most of you listening to me, many on Facebook, many on internet, many on radio, you know we've got to turn our world around. You know we've got to turn our homes around. You can't doubt that. When you know how many kids around you own drugs, and how many have become drug addicts, how many have committed suicide. I heard yesterday how many people had died from an overdose of a certain drug this past year here in America, and it blew my little mind. Wow. Thousands of people are dying from drug overdose. Thousands of people are dying from suicide. Thousands are dying from everything you can imagine. What's wrong? Well, we've left God out of our families. We've left God out of our homes. Nobody is responsible like you mamas and daddies. The burden is your burden. The responsibility is your responsibility. And right behind you are us pastors teaching and being a man of God in the pulpit. And standing up for right and standing up against evil and wrong and doing what's right. Our church is committed to these things. I'm telling you, our church is committed to these things. Now, I want to give you this booklet. This is very important. A home divided against itself cannot stand. A home divided against itself cannot stand. Strong evil spirits are destroying homes. Here's a booklet. I have written it. It's very good. We've got a whole book now, a catalog, nearly 200 pages on the family that I'm going to have ready to tell you about next week. And we're going to really promote it in the next letter going out. We are trying to help rebuild the homes of America. I want things to be right in your home. Hey, I love you folks. You're my friends. I don't do this radio program for my health. I'm 81, almost 82. I want to help you build a happy, godly home. I really do. Now, the lines are open. Grab your phone and call. Want to hear from you. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Wait a minute. Was that one or was that two? All right, here we go. May I help you, please?
Mr. Chambers, how are you doing, sir?
Hi, my friend.
All right, I'm from Conway, South Carolina. Listen, I'm listening to what you're saying. My name is Edward. I agree with what you're saying. Listen. God don't make mistakes. He made a man and he made a woman. He said it was good. He made it in his own image. He don't make trash, brother. Trash goes in a trash can.
Well, sodomy is one of the darkest, deepest sins that a moral person or a person can indulge their life in. It is a horrible lifestyle. I mean, it really is. And the people involved in many cases have been seduced, and they need our prayers, they need our compassion, but they need to be told the truth.
Well, preacher, it's like this. There's a lot of people just think they're right, but they're walking in the shadows of darkness. They ain't even walking in the light. You take things this far here in John 2, 2 John, it said, if any man brings any other doctrine other but the truth, don't even let him come in your house. Bid him. Don't even bid him God speak. But people don't understand one thing. What God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said he did it for our learning, our soul, what he's done. See, that whole city was under a pure evil. And we're in that way, headed for that way. And we don't stop.
I think we're all already worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, definitely you are.
I think we're already worse. Because you'll never read in the Bible that Sodom and Gomorrah ever became involved in creating a spirit of the transgender. And they never promoted same-sex marriage. The Bible doesn't say it. If they did, then I don't believe they did. I just think America is worse, and God has to judge us. God has to judge us if we don't repent and turn back to God.
That's true, brother. I don't believe it's garbage. They were doing that promoting something outside. The Bible said they were doing everything known to men. They were doing the same thing. They're doing it today. We just ain't seeing everything. We just get a glimpse, a little bit of it.
Well, thank you for calling, my dear brother.
All right, brother.
I appreciate your call. And you're welcome to call, friend. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. That's our local number. You can call 7 days a week that number. Our office, our staff will help you. They'll respond to you. We'll share material with you. We'll help you grow in the Lord. We'll help you live a clean, godly life, because that's the only life worth living. Now, I've been talking today about rebuilding the foundation of the home. I've told you plainly what the Bible says, that there are dark, evil spirits that have taken dominance in a home. That's in the book of Matthew chapter 12. And the only way to take that home back is to cast that spirit out. All over this nation, we've got homes full of demon spirits. We got homes where sodomy and lesbianism is ruling. And it's desperate. It really is desperate. Now, please order this booklet. If we go off the air before you get your order in, you call. We've got lady here trying to take care of your calls, and we will do our best to help you, my friend. We really will. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, brother. How are you?
Hey, friend.
Good. I was going to commend you for your words for the Sabbath day. Keep that holy, and I agree with you a lot on a lot of aspects. And
you know, your phone is so gobbled. I don't know whether you're too far away or what. The calls have been so plain today, but I don't understand all you're saying.
Oh, it's a cell phone, brother, but I'll let you continue on.
Thank you, my dear friend, and I'm so glad you called. I really am. God bless you. Walk with Jesus, okay? Walk with Jesus. You know, it's amazing the needs out there. They're everywhere. And I'm burdened. I'm burdened for families. I got up this morning long before my family and just had a great prayer time. And I began to sob before God for my children that are unsaved. Some that used to be right with God and walk with Him and live a Holy Ghost-filled life, but no longer live that life. I'm telling you, we are living near the coming of the Lord. I've got 6 wonderful grandchildren. I want them full of the Holy Ghost and living for Jesus. And, you know, I just believe if you don't get saved very shortly, you have to go through the tribulation. It could start today. We're just that close to the coming of the Lord. And I'm excited about Him coming. Now, we'd love to have you in church tomorrow. You know where Paul Creek is? 5110 Tuckasegee Road. Tuckasegee Road, right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Almost everybody out there has a GPS, and you can find us. You call the same number, 704-391-0588. The phone's always open every Sunday morning to give people direction. We'd love to have you in church tomorrow. I promise you this, you'll hear a sermon from the Lord. You'll hear a sermon from the Lord. With all my heart, I'm going to preach that word of God tomorrow. And I guarantee you, with all my heart, I'm going to preach it. And I believe that there'll be people that'll be saved. And that's what I'm praying for. Saved and brought to Jesus Christ tomorrow. Nothing do I want more than I want you to get saved and to make sure you're right with God and living clean and godly lives. If you will, you'll be the one that's blessed, my dear friend. You'll be the one that's blessed. Now, I love you. I want God to have His way in your life. You're important to me. I promise you that. You're very important to me.
All things are passed away. All things are new today. He gave me life for past, so dim, oh, how
God bless you. I love you.
I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Yes, I am.
Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands have provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord.